So it was been in a long, long time. So since we've had an event like that. So it's just, you know, Texas and Houston in particular is not prepared for these kind of things. And we learned how unprepared our system was. But you know what? We make it through. And the thing is that's what we've been talking about, is just you guys being the champions. You guys have that champion spirit. And it doesn't really matter what's going on around us. We find a way to come up to the top of it. We find a way to supersede it. Because why? Because that's the nature of Christ that's within us. It's the nature of Christ that we begin to deal with these things out of. And so that's part of what I wanted to address today. We'll go to Hebrews 11 just first, real quick. In the process, you know, this whole week was rather, it's a little off-putting when all of a sudden nothing works. Not even my phone. I mean, my phone wouldn't work. I couldn't, you know, there were times where I couldn't call out, times where somebody couldn't call in. And when I'm texting and it says, try again, it was like mocking me. Try again. Try again. It's like, that didn't work. Try again. So you just have those things going on, but it kind of disrupts your whole flow of everything that you're doing. At that moment I had power. But I was willing to help somebody else. I couldn't even get a text message out to tell somebody that I was available for them. It was just really weird. So, but it was amazing. What I really, really enjoyed was just seeing the generosity of the hearts of people. In a time when there was a lot of chaos, my neighbor, I was actually outside cutting some wood for my fireplace, because it turns out my fireplace, if you don't use it for like 10 years, the gas will not turn on anymore. So I turned the switch and there was no, you know, you normally hear that little hiss sound. There's no hiss sound. And I'm like, that's not good news. I really need it right now. And then shortly, by the time before I could get a chance to try to work on it, the electricity was out, so I didn't have a compressor to blow through it with. So it just stayed out. But the generosity of people, and I was outside cutting wood, and so my neighbor's house all of a sudden just explodes in water, just a waterfall down the side of his house. So I had to go knock on his door, and we got the water shut off. But you know, it's just stuff like that. You know, we caught it instantly because I was right there when it happened. But you just never know. But I want to take a moment and you know, I know that I bust on LaRue a lot. But I want to take a moment to say to explain something to you that happened over this little holiday that we've had, yes. But when he loaned me the generator, okay, he loaned me the generator, which was an awesome thing to do. But he also, you know, because the generator was huge, I also had to borrow his pickup truck. So I got his generator, his pickup truck, and his extension cords. And the little one, there's a little generator, which actually works now. So, yay, I got that one fixed. So, but in this process, I was returning the truck back to him, but I had to go to Home Depot because my sprinkler system had exploded. There was a crack that had come a bit open. And actually, it turns out instead of PVC, they used some cheap little plastic stuff that's really thin. And so now I know. Awesome, yeah, 5 years later. But anyway, in this process of taking back the truck, I called LaRue and said, hey, I'm on the way with your truck, so just to let him know that it was, you know, that everything was going. And I said, I've got to go to Home Depot first. And he said, well, I'm across the street at Kroger's, and I'll just go over there and wait in line for you to take your place, because he said there's like a line of like 100 people out there already waiting to get in, and they close at 5, you're never going to get there. And so he actually volunteered and went and go and stood in line. And then because I didn't get there in time, they took him in and closed the doors. And he was able to go find a pin.
Sorry, I've got to set the record straight here, guys. So let me tell you what really happened. I'm in line at Kroger getting food for our house. And he calls at 5. He says, I got to get a Home Depot part. And I knew that most of those parts are already gone. Also, I saw the line because I'm looking across the street. I said, look, I'm going to get out of line here that I've been in for 20 minutes freezing. I walk over there and the lady goes, sorry, we're not taking anybody else. So immediately my old man kicked in. My old way, I'm like, I kind of had to, forgive me. Anyway, I said, no, somebody's in the front. And all of a sudden, I start walking down the line. I knew if I didn't get in this line, he wasn't going to get a part, and it was over. And I put my hand over this guy's shoulder, and I just start talking to him. He's in the front of the line. I'm like, hey, man, how is it? It's pretty hard out there. And he goes, don't even think about it. So I go to another guy, and I put my hands, and I waited to see. And I stood in front of some Hispanic guys that knew that they wouldn't hear what I'm saying to the guy in front of them. So I go and start talking to him. I'm like, man, it is tough. Whatever you're buying, I'm buying it for you today. He goes, you know how long I've been waiting this long? I know a long time, but they are closed, and I'm not even doing this for me. I got a friend whose pipe is busted, and if I don't get in here, it's going to run all night. And he goes, whatever, man, just get in here. And so we get in, and they had no parts in there. And so God sent me this guy in there, and I'm trying to find his part. And Chuck goes, that ain't it. And the guy says, there are no one-inch parts in here. So this guy walks up to me and goes, here's what you need. Get a one-inch L, taper it down to a half-inch, tap the half-inch. I'm like, dude, you are speaking in tongues to me right now. I said, I have no idea what you're saying, but if you'll tell this guy right here on the phone what's going on, and he did, and he said, here's what you need, here's the cap, that's it, go buy it, it's all good. So he got his sprinkler part. Let's give God glory for that, because there wasn't no more of those by the next morning, gone. So let's give God glory for that. And ask God to forgive me for what, you know.
And I want to share also, because even when Chuck and LaRue were commiserating and working on the generator, and I knew it was going out the driveway, my heart kept thinking about Myra. As much as I love Chuck and aww, Kim and his whole family, I was like, Myra, Myra, Myra. And so as they were backing out, it was like, we've got a fireplace. That's all we need. We had our power come back on, and then it went off right when they had it. And so because they had power and we didn't, so it was like back and forth, and it's like, keep it, because we have this fireplace going, and we were in such a good place as it was, just being able to have that gas stove and the fireplace. But Myra, we love you and honor you and your son and your whole family.
Aww. So it was an adventure nonetheless, but you know, I just was impressed that he went and volunteered to go stand in the line. So that was a neat thing. Hallelujah. Oh, and one other thing. The generator that he loaned me was a functioning working generator. The generator that I have now is not a functioning working generator. But yes, I will get it back to that state eventually. But here's the deal, something that I did not know, but and so I'm telling you so that you will know if you ever use a generator. See, because at 10 o'clock, 10:30, somewhere in there, the power came on, so I turned the generator off. And then at 2, the power went back off, and I went outside in the middle of the night with just trying to wrap myself with whatever I could wrap myself in. And I'm sitting there trying to start this generator, get the generator started, and it doesn't produce any power because I had left it connected to the load. So you cannot leave it connected to the load. So when you power a generator down, unconnect the load first. Because if you connect it to the load, it can, and in this case did, mess up the voltage regulator, and it just goes away. So I got to use the generator for 3 hours. And I learned something. So if you'll learn from my mistake, glory to God. All right, so enough and not about Snowmageddon. So Hebrews 11. I want to get to, we'll stop by real quick with verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I also want to touch base on verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. It's really the whole, our whole journey is about faith. Our whole journey in Christ is about learning to believe in Him and then learning to believe in what He said and learning to stand in it and walk with it. This is the whole, when Tina was talking about forward motion, we're stepping into a forward motion now. Prophetically, we're stepping into a forward motion. And what that is basically, it's a faith action. It's, in other words, it's coming alongside faith, stepping in faith, and do like what Anna said earlier, faith is the currency of heaven. It's what makes everything work. And because you're standing in faith, you can stand and you can begin to see things happen that wouldn't otherwise happen. It doesn't say that the walls came down because of anything but faith. It didn't come down because they were marching around. It didn't come down because they were battering at it with battering rams all night. It didn't come down because they had a louder horn than the other guys. It came down, the walls came down by faith. And then so it is even in our own personal lives. The walls, whatever walls that we have erected up, they're going to come down by faith. When we're standing in and we're standing in agreement with God, then that wall must come down simply because we're standing in agreement with the Lord, and now the Lord can do what He's going to do. When we stand in faith, there's an opportunity now for God to be able to move into that space. We create the motion by standing in faith. So as one of the things that I've learned in my own life is that when I see something in my character that I don't like, then I have to get into agreement with God. That agreement with God, it becomes the place of faith. It may not feel like it in that first moment. I remember the first time I said, I am the righteousness of God. And I was literally trembling. I was like sitting in my desk and I was like, is the lightning going to come through the window? Because at that moment, I didn't really have a grid for it in my understanding. We were in the process of learning those things, but as I began to understand it, you have to remember, you're only going to be what your belief system will allow you to be. So if you're going to be in forward motion, you got to have a belief system that says, I can be. If you're going to be holy, you have to have a belief system that says, I can be. If you're going to be righteous, you got to have a belief system that says, I can be. And when we begin to understand that, we begin to allow that to be our guiding light. And when that begins to, when we say, I can be Christ-like, and we see us being Christ-like, now we're stepping into the place of faith, and we give Him the opportunity to bring the wall down. It's not a big secret, because I've talked about it many times, but the biggest wall for me was the wall of anger. Because that wall had to come down, but I had to see it first. And then I had to come into agreement with God for it to come down. And then I had to stand there and say, you know, it doesn't matter how my emotion feels at this moment. God says that I am holy. I don't feel real holy at this second when somebody just cut me off. But I must come into agreement with Him that this is going to be different. And now people do that and it isn't. I mean, I don't remember who I was on the phone with. Somebody, literally, I was on with you, Cody. I mean, literally, somebody with a truck, just pulled right over into my lane while I was there. And it was, 60 miles an hour, and I had somebody next to me. I had nowhere to go but stop. Unfortunately, nothing happened. And then I said, "Dude, I'm here. How do you not see a big white truck?" But that was it. So when you're beginning to allow God in your life and you let Him begin to minister to these things, the walls in your life are going to have to succumb to faith. So just be in agreement with God. We talked a little bit Wednesday night, a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, you know, not this last Wednesday, obviously. But and I talked about Jonathan. See, but Jonathan understood and acted in faith. And I want to review that for you in just a moment. But while you're looking at yourself, remember that the harshest voice that you're going to hear in your heart is your own. The harshest one you're going to hear is your own. Sometimes those are echoes of other people in your life. They're echoes of what your mom said. Sorry. What your dad said. Couldn't, in my case, it wasn't her. So. I always thought her side of the family was normal. Until I went back and we had a family reunion on that side, and I was like, you know, it's 40-some years later, and these people are still acting like they did when we were kids. And I'm like, oh, this is very dysfunctional as well. But it was less dysfunctional than the other side. So hallelujah. I know. I have cousins who will be writing me now. So, the faith that you're looking for is always going to look a little bit unusual. If you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, I think we'll go to chapter 13. In verse 19, it says that there's no blacksmith found in the land. There was no blacksmith found in the land. In other words, what we have going on here is just because of time's sake, I want to just begin to summarize it a little bit. But Saul was anointed to go and pick on the Amalekites, and he did and won, and they crowned him king for it. So Saul does that. Now, Saul's been in office now for 2 years, and now he picks a fight with the Philistines. And they have 600 men. Saul has 600 men. The Philistines have literally thousands. Thousands. It says, grains of sand. They have like 6,000 chariots. A whole lot of horses. A whole lot of men who are, in spite of all those, obviously, if you got 6,000 chariots, you got 6,000 men on those chariots. So he picks a fight with probably the greatest superpower there was at that moment. Not a bright idea, because God didn't anoint him for it. And so one of the things that began to make more sense about the whole situation, why, remember when we were talking about David and Goliath and why the whole army was standing there? Well, when you begin to understand that, what this means is that they were standing there because the Philistines, not only were they numerous, but they're also weaponized. And Israel wasn't, because there was no blacksmith allowed in the land. They actually canceled the blacksmiths. They took them all out. And that meant that no one could make a sword. No one could make a spear. You can't take your hoe or your shovel and create something else out of it if you don't have a blacksmith. They had no weapons. And because they had no weapons, they were all in fear. And except one man, Jonathan. And see, Jonathan does something here in chapter 14. Verse 6, and Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." That's quite a faith statement. So he began forward. Jonathan stepped out in forward motion, having an expectation that the Lord was going to do something for him. That the Lord was going to do something for the nation of Israel. He had an expectation of God, and that God's goodness would answer the situation. that forward motion was caused because he just stepped out in a situation where most people were stepping back. Maybe sanity would have stepped back. Glory to God. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself there, and I am with you according to your desire. Tim, this is how it works. I know you're online. This is how it works. So when we say we're going to go into battle, you're saying you're right there. Regardless of what the odds look like. Okay, buddy? Amen. Amen, Tim. Come on, I'm looking for you to see if you got to get an amen over there? Glory to God. So he was out, and then Jonathan said, behold, verse 8, we will cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. And if they say to us, "Come, wait until we come to you," then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands, and this shall be the sign. So here's the word in the Lord in his heart, and he begins to speak it to his armor bearer. And he sets a condition here, and he puts that expectation on the Lord. And he says, if they say this, we're just going to be good and we'll stay here. But if they say this, if they say that, we're going to go up and we're going to hit the garrison. We're going to attack the garrison, just you and me. Two people, garrison that's high and lifted up. Somewhere because it describes it here, they have to climb up to it on their hands and knees to get up to it. So verse 12. So the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up with us and we will tell you something. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has given them to the hands of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer behind him, and they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, put to death some after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. So they were able to take out 20 men in a fortified garrison. Why? Because they acted, had an expectation that God was going to act with them. But see, this was just the beginning. This was just the beginning, because see what God then did, God then stepped into those that opportunity, because they began to move forward. God said, here's an opportunity, and he began to do something on their behalf. And you see that, verse 15, there was a terrible trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. And even the garrisons and the raiders trembled. Earthquake, so it became a great trembling. Now God is adding himself to their faith. God is adding himself, and he's stepping in with their faith. He's stepping into agreement with them. And now there's suddenly there's something that's going to come out of this. There's going to come out of this a great victory. See, champions are made in that moment of decision. It wasn't actually even, once they stepped out and did it, it was either going to happen or wasn't. But it was in that moment of decision that they became a champion. That moment of decision when they said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go and I'm going to give God an opportunity here to step out with me. And as they began to just believe on him and said, he has an expectation that this is going to do something for the nation of Israel, and then so it does. And now that begins to be infectious, so all the other men of the camp get excited and they go out to go to the battle, and they see something when they get there to the top of the hill to see the battle. Verse 20, then Saul and all people who were with him rallied and came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there's a very great confusion. The neat part about that, they didn't have to do anything. They came up and they saw what was already going on. And every man's sword, well, since Israel didn't have any swords, they were killing each other because of the confusion. God put a confusion in their camp, and he stirred up the nation around them, and he stirred up the people with the earthquake, and they began to be in fear. And as they were in fear, they just began slaughtering each other. And Israel won a battle without ever getting in it, except two men. See, that's the actions That's what happens when we put our faith in motion. And now faith in motion comes something that God adds himself to. God added himself to it in a surprising and wonderful way. It began to bring about wholeness for the whole nation. And it got them out of the jam that their king had put them in. Because he attacked somebody he shouldn't probably have attacked. The anointing was on Jonathan for that moment. The anointing was on David for his moment. The anointing is on you for your moment. Whatever it is that stands in front of you, whether it be a 15-degree weather day or a no water day or a no electricity day, there's God has put something in you to overcome with. And when you begin to stand with him and come into an agreement with him, he can bring the wholeness to the situation. Amen? Amen. During this time, I wanted to kind of just also line out a few more things, because Jonathan's life exemplified some things. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 13. There's some things that I began to see here. Jonathan's life, no, it's not something that people talk about a lot, but it exemplified what can happen when we step out with God. And that same thing can happen when we step out with him now. It's that same power and authority is available to us every time we allow ourselves to see the way God sees. That's why when we see the way God sees, that's where victory comes from, is having a vision and then keeping to it. That's why Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish. Because what that means is that basically without a vision, without something that gives you a constriction, something that gives you a focus for your faith, something that gives you a target for your faith, then you're just floundering around wildly. But when you have a target for your faith, now that target is going to be the thing that directs what you do and where you go and what you allow yourself to believe. Because you're only going to rise as high as what you will believe. You're only going to come up as much as far as what you will believe. Where you put your target is going to be the top of where you're going to go. What you believe can have great effect on the atmosphere around you. I began to operate in that even before when I was a teenager and I didn't know anything about God to speak of in that time. So, but there was this beautiful 70 model Buick Grand Sport that went cruising through the smoking area. Yes, I was in the smoking area. Went cruising through the smoking area, and I looked at somebody and I said, "I'm going to own that car." I don't even remember who it was, but I just told him I was going to own that car. You know what? 9 months later, I owned that car, and I didn't set up everything else that I had to do to get there, but 9 months I owned the car. Why? Because I understood to set my faith to it. I put my faith into it. So here, what are you putting your faith on? This is the parable about the sower. And the parable about the sower ends with this word here. Verse 23, and the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. And we know, and we've talked about, this is not new material for you, but here's the part of it that what we've talked about is that if we've got to hear it, we've got to receive it. That's Mark's belief. And then we understand it. Then we keep it. Luke says we keep it. Flip over with me to Luke 8 real quick. Because that word that you're hearing, the word of the kingdom, the word that God is placing in before you, that word is what will guide you. That word is the thing that becomes the vision that sets where you go. So we keep it. It says right here, Luke 8, verse 15, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear forth fruit with perseverance. Bear forth fruit with perseverance. Or some versions are going to say patience. I think that's King James says patience. But here's the kicker is that we're bearing forth fruit. The whole thing is that as you begin to hear it and receive it, understand it, and keep it, that's a transformational process that is happening. It's transforming your belief system from whatever it was to wherever God has already designated for you. Because when His Word comes to you, it's uniquely tailored to you to bring you to where you're supposed to be. And as it comes to you, it's uniquely tailored to also equip you to overcome the obstacles that are in front of you. And then so you put yourself in motion simply by beginning to hear it, understand it, receive it, and keep it. Because you're putting yourself in motion, now you're ready to bear forth the fruit of it. When you bear forth the fruit of it, all of a sudden there's just a day of suddenlies that happens. You know, who is the laughing guy? Ronnie Hunter Brown, and remember when he just showed up, Sharon? Yeah. When he just showed up, when Ronnie Hunter Brown showed up on the scene, they said it was like you just appeared overnight. And he said, "Well, that's the longest night I ever knew," because for 10 or 15 years he had been serving behind the scenes, serving and driving the trucks and carrying the water and everything else out on the field for the missionaries and basically serving everyone else. But God was building an anointing in him. God was building a destiny in him. God was building a word in him. And when all of a sudden, then it just burst forth on the scene to everybody else, it seemed like it just happened overnight. You just stepped out and stepped in. But he knew that, you know, for every day that he was stepping in, there was a day that he had been riding on the side of the Jeep, on the outside of the Jeep, while it was raining and muddy and nasty, holding on to it so that the people could ride inside. Those are the kind of things. You see, God is building something in him in that moment. He was building a ministry in his heart in that moment. He was building a vision in his heart for where he was going. He's doing the same thing for each and every one of us here. We have a constitution. That's LaRue's vision, but it's a vision that you can have as well. You can step in with that vision. God will bring it forth from you in your unique expression. That's what we want to do. We want to have our own expression of a vision. Faith will look unusual. Faith will look unusual. If I look a little unusual today, Kim's not here, so she's out of town for the week. So I had to dress myself. So if you see me dressed funny this week, that's why. It didn't have anything to do with faith being unusual. But faith will cause us to do what is not the norm. Because if it's the norm, we didn't need faith for it. If it's the norm, there was no faith involved. If it's something that we can do in our human capacity, then we didn't need to stand in faith. I can guarantee you, Jonathan didn't really have an expectation that he was going to stand there in his human capacity and go against a garrison and kill 20 people. He wasn't even going to, most likely, they build those things up high because why? Because then they can just throw stones down at you and just kill you before you ever get there. And yet he heard and acted with the Lord. It's got to be something besides just our own capacity. Here's the thing. Bear fruit with perseverance or patience. That's the number 5281. But the readout on that is this: endurance, steadfastness, patience. In other words, he's describing something that requires a journey. But also what he's doing is he's giving you the attributes of faith. Those are all attributes of faith. In other words, we're bearing fruit with faith. All the attributes, the characteristics. When we stand there, it takes and stand there in patience. It's not always easy to stand in patience. If you're standing in line like Doug did for 3 hours, it's patience whether you want it or not. Because in order to get parts, you stood in line for 3 hours. There's an endurance that happens. Because why? Because God has created that endurance to go with the faith. It's part of the attribute of faith. When he gives you a word, that word will always come with the power and the authority, the dominion to carry it out. He has never given me a word yet that he didn't give me the opportunity to make it come to pass. Then it's up to me whether I'm going to agree with him or agree with what the enemy or agree with the self-doubt that happens. Because when a word comes in, immediately the enemy comes and says, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? What, you spend a special? All those kind of things. You think, just because you're a pastor, you're immune to that? Hello? It's not happening. You have to deal with it. You just learn to deal with it. You learn to go, no, I got to stand in faith. I'm gonna step out here in spite of. Someone, and I don't remember who, said that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing it in spite of the fear. That's what we need. We need to be reminded. That's the part of faith. We step out with faith. Regardless of what we see. You guys want to give me just a couple of minutes? I want to share something that I saw. It's not exactly related to this, but I'm Luke. That's why it doesn't look. And back in Matthew 13, because over this little break, while I've just been reading through the book of Matthew, but something that I saw. How many of you have called forth the Reaper angels? Yes. And have an expectation for Reaper angels. Okay? I want to show you something here that I see. And verse 27 of Matthew 13, it says, and the slaves of the landowner came and said, sir, do you not sow good seed in your field? Then how does it have tares? And then his reply was, and an enemy has done this. In verse 30, allow both to grow up, the master is saying, but allow both to grow up until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them up, and gather the wheat into my barn. And if you remember when the Holy Spirit, when it was spoken of Jesus in Matthew 3, spoken of Jesus, and he said he was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit in fire, and then he would send his winnowing fork, and his winnowing fork was going to weed out the chaff and put the wheat in the barn. And so we'll just skip over here because he begins to explain this little saying in verse 37, and said, and the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Meaning the reaper angels are coming for the tares. The reaper angels are coming for the tares. They're coming for the ones that are the evil ones. They're going to pluck it out of the way. He's going to pluck it out of the way. So when the reaper angel shows up, he's there to pluck the tare out of the way. And if you're not the tare, you don't have anything to worry about. Because he's going to pluck the opposition out of your way. When I saw he was plucking the tares out, I was like, that's totally backwards from what I had understood. The reaper angel comes to come alongside you in your journey. It's a journey. The faith is a journey. Stepping out is a journey. And now all this journey, and he's just come alongside us to make the journey possible by his faith, by his grace, by his power. Hallelujah. So champions move with forward motion. Champions move with forward motion. We step up and we step in. We allow the vision to carry us forth. We allow the vision to give direction to our faith. We allow the vision to set where our motion is headed. Because if God says go left and you go right, you missed it. You don't get to where you're going. There was a day when I told somebody I was going to be at a meeting and I didn't know where he lived. So I just began to pray and I began to drive and I began to pray and I just drove. I knew that he lived somewhere in Northwest Houston that we're down to like 1 million people. So I drove and he said, turn right. And I turned right. And I drove and he said, turn left. And I turned left. And I drove and he said, turn right. And I turned right. And I drove and he said, turn right. And I went straight. Then I was about a block and a half and my insides just began just churning up. And I was like, oh, that was a left. And then I backed up and I went back over to, turned around and went back to the left. And I drove right up to the house. See, God can do these things with you. I was doing it as a faith exercise. You can do things as a faith exercise. You can be intentional about it. You want a faith exercise? Go walk into a used bookstore because they align things by categories. Close your eyes and just walk through. And walk until you identify something. And when you identify something, look and see what's there. I can tell you, when you walk in front of the romance series, you can feel the lust in the atmosphere just in front of it. When you walk through, well, and the reality is, yeah, I walked through a section and I was like, I could feel the witchcraft. And I was like that, and I looked, and I'm in front of all these Eastern religions and all and witchcraft books. And I walked into another area, and I felt this witchcraft spirit, but a warm, welcoming, friendly vibe. And I was like, "What is that?" It was science fiction. Because, see, I had read lots and lots of science fiction in that time in my life. And I read the science fiction, and when I got in front of it, that was the warm, welcoming feeling. It was like coming home. I could feel that coming home, but I was standing there, and I was standing there, and then I realized the witchcraft spirit was just like all over me, too. And I was like, for the first time, I understood what I had been reading. And you guys can take it for what you want, but I know what I felt. And what I was really, really shocked by, the children's books and the witchcraft books are back to back in that particular one. Yeah, the children's books are over here and the witchcrafts are over here. That was a sad thing to see. I'm sure there was intention on somebody's part. So train yourself. I don't know how we got off on that. How do we get off on that? Exercising faith. Because you intend to. You intend to. Waken. Challenge yourself. Walk by somebody and feel what their spirit is like. without seeing who they are. See what their spirit's like. I knew I'd get that reaction if I did. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. The attributes of faith. Faith is kingdom currency. It's kingdom currency. It has an action and a result. Faith is kingdom currency, having an action and a result. That action will bring forth what the vision that was behind it was saying. So when you add your vision and your faith, now you have the opportunity to achieve the result. Whether that result is just as simple as getting your own act together, that's a huge thing. It's a wonderful thing. Or whether that result is stepping out and affecting the world around you. Because we're all called to be that light affecting the world around us. That's part of bearing forth the fruit. But we want to do it, like Pastor said earlier, we're going to do it because why? Because we're stepping into a place. See, that thing he demonstrated earlier was just stepping in. And now by stepping in, he changed an atmosphere. We've changed an atmosphere when we step in by faith. And then we carry the atmosphere into the situation. So let's let it be transformational. It's transforming us. And the same time it's transforming us, it's transforming the world. All right. God bless you. Amen.